right. Woo, how's everybody doing today? It's quiet. I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited to be here. Hey, so first of all, as I stand here today, I see a couple of new faces, and I want to take an opportunity really quickly just simply to introduce myself. My name's Will Cole. I get to be the pastor of New Horizon Church. And if you have found us, I want you to know that you have found a place that I believe will help you to discover the Jesus that we all know and love. See, here's the reality I think about the world that we live in, the life that we all live, is we can sometimes feel, what's the word? Lost? You ever felt lost? You ever felt hopeless? I know I have it many times, and here's what I know, that lostness didn't go away when I finally figured life out, nor did hope spring up in my heart when I finally discovered my hope or my meaning and purpose in life. No, all that changed the moment that I met Jesus. And if you're here today and you would say, yeah, you're right, I was lost, but I found hope in Christ, would you just say amen? Amen. If you were at a place in your life where you were without hope and Jesus brought you, as Peter says, indestructible hope, will you say amen? Amen. Here's what I want you to do. If it's your first, second, or third time with us this morning, if you look at the seat in front of you, we have a gift for you. We understand this, that in a world where a lot of churches exist and the time we have to discover the right church is often limited, we want you to know as much about us as you possibly can. So in the seat back in front of you, you're going to see a little alien dangling. The alien is our gift to you. It just identifies with this reality that we're in not just Mars, PA, but Scripture tells us that we are sojourners, we're aliens, that we are wandering around in this world, awaiting the world that Jesus will one day bring. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that alien, I want you to take that card, and on that card it's going to tell you, first and foremost, how you can find hope in Christ. Second, who we are as a church, and how you can find out more about us. And so if you would, just please take that with you. It's our gift to you. With that being said, I just want to also say thank you for giving me the opportunity, along with my wife and my kids, to participate in something called Oasis. So I don't know, hopefully you know where I've been the past 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, my family and I went to Toledo, Ohio, where we celebrated this 100-year family reunion where I met people that I've never even heard of. If you've been to a family reunion in a while, you know what I'm talking about. I told my kids, prepare yourself. There are cheek pinchers there in the name of, you ever seen Dennis the Menace? You know what I'm talking about. But then we left there. We come back here, and one of our partner churches, Mobberly in Longview, Texas, they started a ministry called Oasis, which is a spiritual renewal and spiritual direction ministry, where for 1 week, the entire staff at Mobberly, from pastors to life coaches and counselors, devoted literally there from sunup to sundown, praying with Aaron and I, counseling with Aaron and I, just answering questions, you name it, like nothing was off limits. And so we got to go away for a week and experience that. And I just want you guys to know that I come back to Pittsburgh, and I'd love to unpack this more if you have questions, but I come back to Pittsburgh with this hopefulness about me, that all of my life and all of who I am is ultimately found and secure in Jesus. Like John 15, Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. That apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you want to be a person who bears fruit, then abide in me and you will bear fruit. And so I'm reminded of the value of that as I stand here today and get ready to teach on the character and qualifications of a pastor, because here's what I want you to know, that without Jesus, like I don't meet any of these. I want you to hear that. Like, I want you to hear your pastor say, apart from Christ and the Spirit working in my life and in the life of the men that you're going to hear from today, we don't have what it takes to pastor the church. Like at the core of my being, I'm a selfish person. Without Jesus, I'm lost. I'm deceived. I'm unable to lead. I'm unable to give hope. I mean, think about it. Like even my marriage, on my best days without Jesus, I'm an unfaithful husband. Like even my parenting, on my best days, sometimes I find that I can be harsh. And so where do you go? Like, where do I go? Where does Darren go? Where does Anthony go? Where do you go when you're confronted with this reality that, God, there's nothing good in me? You go to Jesus. And there you get the opportunity to lay this down at Jesus' feet and let him produce in you fruit that's not born of you and your effort, but it's born of the Spirit of God. And so today, church, we have an opportunity to do something that I believe is celebratory. Like, I believe today is a huge moment in the life of our church because for years, you have been pastored inadequately. And I say that because it's God's design that you would be shepherded not by one man, but by many. So if you felt inadequately cared for, if you felt misunderstood or unheard, if you don't feel like you've been loved well, or you name it, it's because our church has been waiting for God to do something special, and that is to raise up men who can join me to help shepherd the church for this purpose, that you would be more broadly cared for, thoroughly loved and served. And so today is an opportunity for us as a church to recognize these men that God have raised up. But before we do that, I want us to understand the importance of today. So if you're a parent, your child has at some point came up to you and asked this question, can I have a sleepover? Right? And as a parent, if you are a caring and wise parent, you have often followed that up with the question, well, who are their parents? Right? Because none of us are going to send our kids to stay with a person that we don't know. I want you to think about why that is important. It's important because we understand this reality, that if someone is going to look after something that is precious to us, their character matters. And this is why I want us to understand this morning, church, that when it comes to the church, the question of who gets to care for the church, who gets to look after the church, is answered by this, is who can be trusted to care for what belongs to God? So today, church, is about discerning trustworthy pastors. That's what today is. So here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to do this. We do not get to do this this often in the life of our church. God willing, this will be the one time we get to do this in years to come. And so I want to encourage you to treat this moment with like some sacredness, to wake up your mind and your heart to understand the role that you play. Because God's desire is that you would participate in appointing faithful pastors in his church. So here's a truth that I want us to grab a hold of this morning. It'll be on the screen. It says God protects his church through providing qualified shepherds that the church prayerfully recognizes and affirms. But here's what's neat about this truth that's different than some truths we had in the weeks before, is that we actually get to practice this. Like, we get to walk in this today, next week, and the following Sunday. We get to practice what God has called us to do as a church. But here's what I want us to do. First and foremost, I want us to understand this, that God gives pastors to care for his church. So listen at Titus chapter 1, verse 5, to the words of the Apostle Paul. He tells Titus, this is the reason that I left you in Crete, so to set right what was left undone, as I directed you to appoint elders in every town. So if you've ever wondered where leadership comes from in the church, I want you to know this, is that it is not invented by the church. Like, leadership within the church is not a corporate strategy, nor is it a seize of power, nor is it a move of popularity. But right here, the Apostle Paul says that leadership within the local church is God's design. Here's what I want you also to understand, and listen carefully to. The Apostle Paul says that you would appoint elders in every town. In other words, in every church. So here's the reality that we're presented with this morning, church, is that God never intended for his church to be led by one man. Paul doesn't say appoint highly gifted, impressive leaders. No, Paul says to appoint pastors. In other words, leadership is shared in the church. And I want you to know that that's a healthy thing. It's a healthy thing for leadership to be shared. It's healthy primarily because no one leader has all the gifts. So like I said earlier, if you felt inadequately cared for or shepherded, that is primarily not because I don't love you. Oh, I dearly love you. It's because I don't hold all the gifts that God has given the church. No one does. And so what God does is he fills the church with pastors who have wisdom, love, service, leadership, administration, you name it, all these things so that the church can be adequately cared for. But as we think about this idea, like who actually gets to care for the church, this is what Paul wants us to know, is that their character matters. And this is where you come in. I want you to listen carefully. Not only should you know that God's desire is that his church should be shepherded by a plurality of leaders, but God wants you to know what they look like so that when the opportunity comes, like this week and on the 21st, you actually know who you ought to affirm and appoint as pastors to care for you. And here's what Paul says in verse 6. He says, an elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, with faithful children who are not accused of, I love this, wildness or rebellion. He goes on to say that an overseer of God's household must be blameless, not arrogant, hot-tempered, not excessive, not a bully. Amen? Not greedy for money, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, righteous, holy, self-controlled. He holds to the faithful message as it is taught so that he will be able to both encourage with sound teaching and to refute those who contradict it. So church, as we think about this idea, who is fit to care for the church, a body that God loves? The first thing that the Apostle Paul tells us is that it is a man with a credible life. Now, I want to be clear. He doesn't say a perfect life. Amen, Darren, Anthony, Will. He does not say perfect. He says blameless. In other words, when you look at a man's life and you ask yourself the question, should they be a pastor in the local church? Here's what you should not see in their life, is you should not see a pattern of sinfulness in their life. That's been broken. Do they struggle? Absolutely. Are they dominated by sin? Not at all. They're not flawless men, they're repentant men. They continue to come back to Jesus, their source of grace. The second thing that Paul tells us is that his home is an honorable home. So get this, not every pastor should be married, nor is he married. But Paul says, if there is a man that you're considering to be a pastor in your church, here's what you got to do. You got to observe his marriage. We've talked about this in Ephesians, that a husband is to love his wife. Guys, tell me, with what? Selfless love. That he's to lay down his life for his wife in the way that Jesus has the church. And the way that that's modeled is in faithfulness. So as you look at these men, you ask yourself the question, are they faithful to their bride? Do they serve her selflessly? And here's the other thing, though, is how do they parent their children? Do they parent their children with tenderness? Are there moments that they get impatient? Absolutely. Who doesn't, parents? We're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Do we get impatient? Yes. But here's the reality is that a man who aspires to be a pastor is one who tenderly instructs his children in the gospel, cultivating an environment in the home where they can learn of Christ. I've heard it said so many times, church, if you ever go out to shoot archery or firearms, you'll notice whenever you're shooting, there's a bullseye, right? And the goal, if you're wanting to become a good marksman or archer, is to hit the bullseye. That's the target. I want you to notice in Titus and in 1 Timothy 3, the target for pastors isn't how they serve in the church necessarily, it's how they serve in the home. So I've heard it said so many times that if you want to know the measure of a man, where do you look? You look in his marriage and you look in his parenting. That's where you discover the character. And the third thing the Apostle Paul says is this, is that his character is controlled. Look, he's blameless. He's not arrogant, hot-tempered, excessive drinker. He's not a bully, greedy for money, but he's hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, righteous, holy, and self-controlled. In other words, he's not a man who's dominated by sin. Like sin's grip has been released from him, and he is an individual who is controlled by the Spirit of God. So like you see a man who's proud, that man's not fit to be a pastor. You see a man who's hot-tempered, an individual that is impatient with you, not fit to be a pastor. Because he's lost something. He's lost the patience. He's lost the grace that Jesus embodies. He's not fit to shepherd the church. You see a pastor who's greedy for power. You see a pastor who's greedy for money. He's not fit to shepherd the church. I want us to know this. Guys, I want you to listen carefully. That when we're looking for pastors to lead the church, we're not looking for celebrity gifting. But is that not what we all look for? Who's the best speaker? Who's the best leader? Who's the best dressed? Who's got the biggest following? Churches, it seems these days, want to rally around them individuals with celebrity gifting, and we wonder why so many people in the church are wounded. It's because we're looking for the wrong thing. And then lastly, church, the Apostle Paul says this, that his doctrine is faithful. Verse 9. He holds to the faithful message as taught, so that he will be able both to encourage with sound teaching and to refute those who contradict it. So maybe it goes without saying that if you're going to be a pastor in the local church, that you have to be someone who holds firm to the gospel. Like that message we all believe, that message we all share. But not only that, given the opportunity, he's a person who is able to correct and defend. So as we bring this portion of today's service to a close, let me ask you a question. It's an important question. What is your role in all of this? Like, this is an important question because, like I said earlier, we're not going to get to do this often. It's not often God gives us the opportunity in the history of our church to appoint pastors within our congregation. So here's the reality. It probably is, for some of us, the first time we've ever been asked to do this. Many of us, we might attend a church and think to ourselves, where do the leaders come from? Who appoints them? Is it my responsibility? Is it their responsibility? Well, per the word of God, it is your responsibility as a church to not only identify faithful shepherds, but when the opportunity comes, to affirm and recognize them. So here's what's going to happen. Over the next 2 weeks, starting today, you're going to get an opportunity to meet two candidates, Anthony Billinger and Darren Tryon. And over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to ask you to do three simple things because I believe it's biblical and I believe it's your responsibility. First and foremost is that you would pray for our church. You would pray for us throughout this process over the next 2 weeks that God would give us wisdom and direction. The second thing, here's what I ask you to do, that if you are a partner of this church, that you would observe Darren's life and his marriage and his parenting, that you would observe Anthony's life, his marriage and his parenting, and you would ask yourself this question, do they model credible character? Do they faithfully love their wife, tenderly parent their children? Are they controlled by the Holy Spirit, and do they faithfully hold to the gospel? And the reason that I want you to do that is because of this. Come June 21st, these same two men, they're going to be brought before our church, and we're going to have an opportunity and one voice to affirm this truth, that we see and we believe that they have the kind of character that Paul's talking about in Titus, so that we could appoint them as pastors with the New Horizon Church to help us shepherd this church. So without further ado, here's what we're going to do in this moment. You're going to get an opportunity to hear from both candidates. You're going to get an opportunity to hear from Anthony and Lauren Billinger, and you're going to get an opportunity to hear from Darren and Kim Tryon. And what they're going to do is they're just going to answer a couple of questions. So, because I get it, it's like many of us know them well, some of us not so well. So the hope is this, is that as you listen to them, you will be able to think about the things we just heard and ask yourself the simple question, do they have the character and credibility to pastor New Horizon Church? And that you wouldn't do that, listen to me. This isn't an opportunity to be critical. This is an opportunity to be discerning. And there's a difference between criticism and discernment. Criticism takes life. Criticism does not build up. Criticism doesn't encourage. Discernment, however, discernment is seeing these families not through your own lens, but through the lens of Scripture. So, Anthony and Lauren, I want to invite you to the stage, and I'm going to find you some microphones that work. Nope, help me out. I get to stand the whole time. You guys can give him a round of applause. This is like this exciting Sunday for me. Should be an exciting Sunday for us. Well, just really quickly, Anthony and Lauren, look around, small church, right? It's likely you know everyone and everyone knows you, but just really briefly, just quickly introduce yourself. Tell us who your beautiful little family is, and yeah. Maybe.
Is mine on?
How about now? There we go.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I think I know almost everybody in the room, a couple of new faces. So Anthony Billinger, married to Lauren, and our three kids. Henry's in the audience here. I don't know where Catherine ran off to. We should sing happy birthday to her. Yesterday was her 9th birthday. And then Grant as well. And I'm also lucky to have my in-laws here, Chuck and Barb. We've been at New Horizon 3.5 years now. I think we first met you guys in like spring of 22. Mm-hmm. Officially started coming here in early 2023. Mm-hmm. And then started this whole eldership cohort 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like it's taken forever, right?
Yeah. I think it was a 16-month journey that turned into 26.
Months,
yeah.
Months. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. So what I would like to do in this moment, just ask a couple of questions to them. questions that I believe you might ask, questions that's intended to build confidence in us as we discern the question, do these individuals have the kind of character that Paul's talking about here? So first and foremost, at New Horizon Church, here's what we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul said in the book of Corinthians, that he not only came, he died, he was buried and rose again, and that he is coming again. We not only believe that, but we believe wholeheartedly that through Jesus and Jesus alone are we saved by grace through faith. Like, I believe that kind of codifies the gospel in a couple of statements. So Anthony, Lauren, I want to ask you, is this the gospel message that you hold to?
Yes.
Yes.
Passing with flying colors already. Passing with flying colors already. But maybe a little bit more intimately, do you think that you can tenderly and graciously lead these individuals to the feet of Jesus as you serve them?
Yeah, I do.
Absolutely. I do as well. You mentioned already that this equipping process, I think we've all lost track of how long it was. I mean, it's been at least 2 years. But it's been a good process. Yeah. It's been good for me. Would you just unpack what the process has been like for you so the church can understand kind of what we've gone through, what we've talked about, what we've learned?
Yeah, sure. So we've met basically monthly for the past, again, a little over 2 years. Started out going through a pretty sizable, I think it might take a bullet thick theology book, which was great, just, you know, working through together and aligning on kind of the basic tenets of our theology as a church. From that, we worked through a book on elders, so basically based on Titus, just again that biblical basis of eldership and church leadership. And then we've worked more recently, kind of the three of us, through just the idea of working together in this plurality. So this first among equals, like how do we actually, as three men, how do we actually work together and lead a church? We had Bill Curtis, who's a senior pastor of Cornerstone, the Sending Church. I think a lot of you were probably here a couple weeks ago when he was in town. We've met with him. We're sitting in, I think, next month, probably on one of their elder meetings. So I think the more recent months has been more focused on, like, how do we actually do this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do we have an answer to that question yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. We know how we're going to do this. We definitely have an
answer. Yeah, we've got a good skeleton. And
we do. We do. It's been fun drawing that out. What's been really fun about that for me is the 2 years has really given us an opportunity to discern each other's gifting, which is great because that helps us see what seat at the table we need to be in. How about this as a question, Anthony? Why is it, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says that a person who desires to be an elder desires an honorable thing. So we understand, as we taught throughout this elder cohort, that pastoral leadership is both the desire of the person along with the calling and gifting of the Spirit. So I want to ask you this morning, why is this something that you desire?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, like, first and foremost, like, we love New Horizon. It was no coincidence that Henry and Samuel met on the bus and we first met you guys back in 2022. And, you know, we were at a place where we were, we knew we needed to move on from. And so it was, I firmly believe, like, God led us here to New Horizon. And it's interesting, like, when you first ask, like, hey, are you interested in this elder cohort? I'm like, well, first off, I'm way too young, right? Like, don't you have to be old to be an elder? But had never been part of a church that had elders. So even, like, what is an elder, right? Like, what is the role of an elder? So as we went through this, you know, the past 2 years, and I think understood practically and then biblically the basis of eldership and the role of it, I mean, it is an honor. Like, we were recently just chatting about, so outside of the church in my everyday, about 18 months ago, I was on I got called into a call with the CEO of our company, which we were just laughing at. He's like he's on the Forbes 500 most wealthiest guys in the world. Called in, had a conversation with him the next week, got a call if I wanted to go do something else, basically kind of like Peter was like, hey, I think you should come do this. And so we talk about, like, you know, secularly, like, what a kind of, like, honor that was, right? Like, oh, here's this guy, he knows what he's doing. As I've been reflecting more recently, as cool as that is, like, the opportunity and the honor and the, I'll say, burden in a healthy way, the responsibility of being a elder here is, you know, light years beyond that. You know, it also says, like, it's, you know, it's double the honor, right? Mm-hmm. But with that, it's double the responsibility and burden. So for me, as I grow personally, as I grow spiritually, as we move down that path of sanctification, it's, I think it's a great opportunity. It's clearly biblically needed. I think collectively we have good gifts that work together in a very complementary role.
Yeah.
To help lead and shepherd this church.
Yeah. Speaking of gifts, like I said, the 2 years that we've been together, it's allowed us to really discern how each individual is gifted. I think what lights me up as a pastor is leadership, but not just leadership, like mission, vision, values. Like, that lights me up as an individual. And then there are things that do not light me up as an individual. Anthony, what lights you up and what value do you think you will bring to this elder team that is presently absent within the leadership of our church?
Well, one I'll mention first that probably is not top of mind for you is that obviously you're in ministry. Darren's been on staff before, serves now in ministry. So I'm kind of that lay minister,
I love that.
Elder viewpoint, right? Like, I've grown up in different churches, never been on staff. So I think just in our conversations, I bring that kind of view of the congregant, I think is what you've said, which I think is valuable. what lights me up? That's funny. I know one thing we've talked about is, and I've kind of been doing this already, is just kind of like some of the administrative or financial side of it. So allowing, you know, if you think about all the different areas of the church right now, will you to have ownership of each of them essentially? So one that I'll immediately step into is from a financial and administrative side. So working with Hannah, if you guys don't know Hannah, she still supports us on staff down in South Carolina. So helping from a financial standpoint, allowing you to kind of take a step back from that.
Yeah. Because what am I not allowed to do?
Look at the ties.
Touch money.
Yeah, touch money. Yeah. Yeah.
When Cornerstone was here, he was like, guys, Bill was like, he's not allowed to touch money. And I'm like, yes and amen. Yeah. And for the record, like he said, I don't have a clue what anyone in this church gives. In 7 years, I've never looked at a giving statement. You know what I see each month? I see what you see in our horizon line, and that is what the tithes and offerings are. That's it. So, yeah, anyway. So, breath of fresh air. I don't know. I know what I give. I don't know what you give. But anyway, I think lastly, is Lauren someone that I have grown to, I love this family a lot. I do. It's so amazing and remarkable how when we started to plant this church, they came at just the right time because they proved in that time to just be really faithful friends. And I have shared this with you guys a lot, but like even when I was in Oasis this week, they asked us to draw out our circle of friends. And I want you to know this. I'm not just saying this, but I mean this. Like, this couple and that couple makes that circle for me. There's no one that I trust more, I'm gonna be frank, than that man right there. I've entrusted him with my heart and soul. And you know what's amazing is it's never gotten back to me. So if you're person here that's looking for someone to confide in, like, that's a dude. And this couple here, man, like, there were seasons where I literally thought, I told my wife, I was like, we're gonna have to pack our bags and go home. It's like, I don't even feel like I have a place here anymore. And this couple was always there to encourage, to affirm, to love, you name it. And so I'm thankful that I get to do this. Lauren, I love your gifting. I feel like you're a phenomenal person to talk to. Here's what I want to ask you this morning. It doesn't just matter what I think about Anthony or what your in-laws think about Anthony. It matters what you think about Anthony. So as you see the way that he loves and serves you in the home, the way that he parents your kids, Did you see the character of Jesus in him?
I did write a little sentiment as I was. Anthony and I have been praying about this and talking about this since the inception of Will asking Anthony to join the elder cohort. And even as I'm sitting here today, it's wild. I'm so thankful to the Lord for how he brought us to New Horizon. Since coming here, I've seen my own gifts be reignited, specifically playing keys, in a lot of other ways, and I'm excited to see the church grow. So this is what I wrote. Anthony is steady and wise, and he's very intentional. In our family, we call him Mr. Safety for a reason. He cares deeply about making solid, God-honoring decisions and is not someone who can be easily rushed, okay? So his love for Christ shapes the way he leads and loves our family, and he values God's design for the church. I've known Anthony for 18 years, and I've had the privilege of watching him grow into a man of genuine character and integrity, and I know that he will shepherd you well because I'm firsthand experience of that. When I think about my life since leaving my home, like when I reflect on how has God worked in my life, it's always in conjunction with Anthony and the way the things that have transpired in our family and in ourselves as individuals. So I trust that he will steward you all well.
Amen. I know it's not easy to sit up here. I know that was good. That was good. Wives, we need to encourage our husbands more. You want to see your husband's heart tenderized, just begin to speak life over him like that, and you'll see it. It's not easy to sit up here and ask questions before your church and to put your life and character on display, but I thank you for willingness to go through the process, your willingness to let him go through the process. I praise God for who you are, knowing that it's not because of your effort, but it's because of Jesus' work. And so, church, would you thank Lauren and Anthony this morning for sharing their life and sharing their character with us? Yeah. All right. Mr. Darren and Kim. Darren, how long have I known you now? 5 years?
5 years.
I still can't pronounce his last name, and it's not without trying really hard. Can you pronounce your last name for everyone so they actually know how to pronounce it?
Yeah. So if you're Will, it's Tryon.
That's right.
But it's actually Try-on. It's two words put together. So I don't know why it's so hard, but I guess that's a Southern accent
thing. That's
right.
When you grew up in the South, man, you just kind of like jumble things together. And then you move to an area where people don't. And then you have to retrain your mind to kind of pull them apart.
Well, I'm impressed.
Try-on.
I think you did it well this morning. I don't think you messed it up.
You know, it's really odd. Can I tell you, just guys, really odd, funny story real quick? When we went to Longview, Texas this week, and we checked into the house that we were staying in for this spiritual renewal retreat, which, by the way, we were there with a couple who's been on the mission field in India for over a decade, which was really cool to experience. It was 139 Tryon Road in Longview, Texas.
Nice. We're everywhere, dude.
You are. But with that being said, thank you for helping us understand your last name. I'm sure they don't have as much trouble with it as I do. But would you just for a moment tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, maybe what you do, your kiddos?
Yeah. So Darren, Kim, you can see our kids up there. This is from...
Oh, man. That's
a picture from, what, 2 years ago?
Find,
2 years
bro.
Ago? Yeah. So Judah in the glasses is now 7. Micah is now 4, and Eliza is now 2, and beautiful kids. We love them very much. We live over in Cranberry, but have resided here for 10 years now. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary a couple weeks ago, so that was fun. So Kim and I have the privilege of serving as missionaries with Crew to college students in Pittsburgh at Pitt and Carnegie Mellon. So that's what we do for a living is helping college students find Christ. And we love it. We get to do it together. It's a privilege to do it together. It's a lot of fun. We've been a part of New Horizon for, about 5 years. Actually, we were talking about it. It was like the fall, like September or so.
Yeah, September 2021.
2021, September 21.
I remember a lot of conversations we had at Brewster's over ice cream.
We did.
Where Darren looks at me and goes like, man, I'm coming. I'm taking it slow. Don't ask me to lead. Like, I just need to hear. I'm like, and look, here you are.
Here I am.
God's done a work in your heart.
yes, he has.
This is totally off the cuff, but watching you introduce your family, and I see Eliza up there. Eliza's a miracle baby.
Indeed.
Guys, James tells us that that every trial and tribulation we go through forms Christ-like character in us, and that suffering isn't something that ought to be avoided but leaned into. So I just want to ask you, and I apologize for putting you on the spot, but how was going through that how did going through that season with Eliza form Christ-like character in you as a family?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for those of you who don't know, Eliza was born 10 weeks early, and Kim was actually in the hospital on bed rest for 3 weeks prior to that. And so it was December 26th of 23. December 26th, Kim went in for a checkup. We thought that we were going to a crew conference.
The next day.
The next day, and they're like, actually, your wife needs to go to the hospital and stay there until this baby is born. So that's what we did for 3 weeks. As essentially single parenting our two boys while Kim was in the hospital. And then Eliza comes. She has some, obviously, babies aren't supposed to come at, 30 weeks? They're supposed to come at 40 weeks. And so Eliza's lungs weren't fully developed. She had a couple pneumothoraxes, or layman's terms is a collapsed lung. So she had chest tubes, and there was a whole process with little Eliza. But through that process, there were some really great moments, I think, for us to recognize that, one, God is sovereign, and if he allowed us to have our child, and our child would be healthy, that we would praise him. But if God also decided to not allow our child to live for whatever reason, he's still good and faithful. And so that was a hard reality for us to recognize, but also a hopeful thing to realize as well. So we went through that part, and then there's also this part in my life where, man, trying to take care of a young family that, you know, we have kids at home. We've got a daughter in the hospital down in Pittsburgh. To try to be a source of peace and direction and comfort to all my family that was spread out was really hard. And that was certainly the trial. I remember Will and I just... We met at Burgatory.
I was thinking about that the other day.
We met at Burgatory, and man, the burger had to wait because it was just a weep session in Burgatory. And there was some guy next to us who was really not digging that. But listen, there
two
was
grown
just,
men, two grown men just crying in a booth.
We were just, I think, feeling the weight of what was happening. But that was also a healing moment. And I think that was James was what I kept going through is blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. When he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. I was just like, man, like that guys, I had a poster of that Bible verse from when I was in third grade hanging up in my room. And so to be 31 years old and have my daughter go through this, it's like, this is the reality. Like, am I willing to go through the trial? Am I willing to trust God through this trial? So anyways, all that to say, it transformed my heart to trust the Lord even more. And I would say certainly your heart as well.
You look like you wanted to share something. Did you want to share something there?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to give you the space if you felt the desire to. Speaking of suffering, once again, as the Apostle Paul says that Jesus Christ suffered once for the sins of all, right? Like, and in that suffering, he died. He gave up his life. He was buried. God raised him on the third day. And Jesus promises us that he is coming again to set up his kingdom here on earth. Darren, Kim, is that a message that you hold to be true?
Yes.
Absolutely.
It sounds like it's one that you've lived your life by.
Lived it, bro.
Love it. So with that being said, Darren, you're a questions guy.
Bring him.
You're a questions guy.
Bring him on.
So I'm interested to hear how the elder process was for you.
Yeah, the elder process was really great in regards to, as Anthony said, I although Kim and I went to Geneva College and studied ministry, I never had been through a theology book, and Anthony's not lying when it's like 800, 900 pages. Some of you
That's
guys
what
are
took so long.
Yeah, some of you are familiar with those kind of books, but it was really helpful to think through things that I hadn't even thought of.
And did we agree on everything?
No, we did not agree on everything. But it was actually really good because we had some good conversation that came out of that and said, what are the primary things that we must hold true to, that we must agree on? What are the secondary things that, this could go kind of either way? Then what are the tertiary things that, really, these are more so preferences that we would hold to but would never require anybody else to hold fast to.
Yeah.
So that was really helpful. I really enjoyed that season.
Yeah.
And then, it's been fun to just kind of be a part of the process. I mean, while this building was being purchased, Anthony and I got to kind of be on the front row of that, helping with that process. We've been on the front row of what things look like going on here. That we've done since being in this building. So yeah, it's been a really neat process that the Lord has allowed us to help with some of those decisions, help with some of those thoughts, but also to learn what does it look like to elder the whole church.
Absolutely. Why do you desire to serve as an elder?
That's a really great question. I was thinking about this. The one thing that I found when I came here to New Horizon 5 years ago was a church that was on mission, a church that wanted to see people come to know Christ. And not just, I think it's this, it's a church that wants to equip the saints to know how to share their faith in their community with the relationships they have. For me, as a missionary who goes and talks to college students every day, like that was music to my ears. And so to be a part of a church where I can help shepherd that and create that culture of being sent out from here, that just gets me so fired up and excited. And so that's one huge thing. And then I would also say, I love coming alongside people and, like you said, asking questions and just listening. That's one of my favorite things.
Well, I don't know if you saw what I saw, but his face lit up when he talked about making disciples and mission. Did you guys see that? So let me just guess. What gift do you think Darren brings to the table? Tell us about the way in which you plan to serve on the elder team and what role you will play.
Yeah. So, I'll say one of the funny things is that I have been nominated as the deliverer of bad news.
That's right.
So if you see me come up here on a Sunday, just be prepared. No, I'm just kidding. I look forward to helping create some discipleship patterns and rhythms that we can hold as a church, especially as a young church, because I feel like we are really writing kind of what our church is going to be in 20 years, 30 years. And so I desire to help create some of those processes, and then also helping individuals, couples, and just meeting with them and processing things with them that they might be learning or challenged by. I really look forward to those things.
Yeah. Cam, he already talked about how he showed up in a big way in what was probably one of the hardest seasons of your life. But how have you seen him model Christ's love for you and his tenderness toward your children?
Yeah, that's a great question. Definitely, that season with Eliza was one of the hardest seasons I've ever been through. And I'll be honest, I was a wreck. But Darren was the rock of our family, and he kept pointing us back to Jesus, and he kept helping me lift my eyes to Jesus instead of my present circumstances. And that's something he still does, not just in the hard seasons, but he does that every day. He is wise and gentle, the same wisdom and tender-heartedness that many of you have experienced and appreciate about him is true in our home as well. He's teaching our children to pray, which has been really, really sweet to see them grow and learn to pray. And it's just really cool to hear their sweet prayers, and that's because of Darren's intentionality with them. He cares really deeply about the relationships in his life. Something I've said for a long time is that once you're a friend of Darren, you will always be a friend of Darren, whether you want to or not.
Amen.
But that's something I really love about him and appreciate. I had something else, too. Yeah, Darren is just, he's a great leader for our family. He's intentional, and he keeps fixing our eyes on Jesus and discipling our kids.
That's neat to hear her say it that way. Jesus, Scripture said of Jesus that he is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Man, it's a good characteristic to have. Can you guys thank Darren and Kim Tryon this morning? Thank you. So here's what's going to happen as we close out today's service. I just want to simply provide some brief instructions for us all. Man, it was like making me jealous watching you guys sit down. So I'm going to take a seat. So for years now, our church has shared leadership with our sending church, which is Cornerstone. Seven men there who'd been eldering together for 20 years joined efforts with us in 2023 to help us shepherd, govern, care for, and lead New Horizon Church. All while understanding that the time would come when God in his faithfulness, because that's what's happening, God is faithfully doing what he said he's going to do, and he's raising up elders to help shepherd his church. And when that time came, Cornerstone would transition and pass off leadership to the elders at New Horizon Church. And so that truly is what's happening starting this Sunday and ending on the 21st, that the pastors of Cornerstone will transition leadership to the pastors at New Horizon Church. And so what that means then for you as a congregation, especially those who are partners, like you are a covenanted partner with New Horizon Church. This matters more to you than it does most because you are the ones that have been entrusted with this decision. You also are the ones who have covenanted with this church. And so what we want to encourage you to do is we want to ask you to pray that God would continue to lead us, that he would give us clarity, and that he would give us wisdom. We also want to ask you to just observe their life. Like, and I know that, listen, that may sound like a lot over 2 weeks, but it's really not when you look at it from a different perspective. Many of you know these men well. Many of you know their wives and their families well. And so what I want you to do is reflect on the years that you have known them. What kind of character have you seen in them? What kind of heart have you noticed in them? The way that they love their wife and love their children. The other thing that I want you guys to do is to be ready to affirm this decision. And the reason that I use that word is because New Horizon Church is an elder-led, congregationally affirmed church. And I know for many of you, you're like, okay, great. I just like the church. Move on. And some of you are like, yeah, that's really important to me. I get it. We're all over the spectrum out here. But New Horizon is an elder-led, congregationally affirmed church, which means, here's what that means, is that you can trust that the elders you appoint and affirm to lead the church will, to the best of our ability, given the wisdom that God provides and the responsibility you've given us, never bring before you anything that we do not believe that you would wholeheartedly affirm and unite around. Does that make sense? And so what we don't do at New Horizon, which some of you may be familiar with, is vote. We don't vote about the color of the carpet, whether we should renovate the building, or a majority vote of who gets to be elders and who doesn't. And the reason that that is because as we look at Scripture and as I examine the Word of God, what we see is that the church is working together for one purpose, and that's unity. So say that word with me, unity. God hasn't called us to give the popular vote the sway. Right? When you look at Scriptures, it's not about popularity. It's not about two-thirds majority winning, ever. It's about the church coming together in unity to recognize what God has done. And so the reason that we use the word affirmation or instead of voting is because come June 21st, when we bring these men up again with their lovely wives, we're going to ask you to affirm and agree with this decision, because our hope is that you would see what we see and that these are men who can faithfully shepherd God's church. Now, I say this all the time. As Darren said, God is sovereign and he can do whatever he wants to do. So in the meantime, between today and the 21st, we want to ask you to use discernment. Remember, to see these men and their families, not through a critical spirit, but through the eyes of the Scriptures. And you ask, do they reflect this character? And if you believe that there's a reasonable reason, per the Word of God, why they should not serve as elders, and you can bring a credible accusation against them, then you need to make that known. Between today and the 21st, pull me aside, call me, don't text me. This isn't a text conversation. This is a personal face-to-face or phone call conversation, and let us know. And myself and the elders at Cornerstone will do our due diligence to determine the best we can if we believe that is a reason why they should not serve as an elder. But with that being said, what I want to do now is just remind you that as a partner of New Horizon, you have a responsibility to pray, observe, and affirm. So with that being said, I want to invite Mr. Dan Malkamaki up this morning to pray for this decision in our church. Do you want me to open the Acts for you? Or you got it? Perfect.
Yes, you're here. The scripture that Will gave me for prayer for this time, and I'll have a few comments and another little scripture for you guys this morning, is out of Acts 20, and it says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Is this an amazing scripture that Paul, in the beginning of the church, was commissioning these people in whatever church this was in? Doesn't matter, but he did this everywhere in all the churches that he went. And he was asking the Holy Spirit to affirm and draw men to a close, close relationship with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God so that they could actually partake with the Spirit. Can you imagine? Just feeble men. I mean, I don't know these men personally, but they're being called to a very high calling. And so we do need to pray, and we do need to make sure that God is in this mystery of him giving us leaders in the church, that they would stay humble and they would stay in a place where they too could be learning from God so that they can join with all of us. It's a two-way thing. It's not a special thing. They're just part of us, but they're being called to a higher calling that the Lord is asking many. He says, strive to be elders. It's an awesome thing. There's a double blessing that comes from that. So, I'm going to read one more and then we'll pray. I just, when I was studying for this and thinking about it, the Lord brought me to Ephesians 3. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, that's all of us, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you so much for these men and their wives and their children. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that as we endeavor to see what you're doing these next 2 weeks and rejoice in what you have done in the training of these men for these almost 2 years now, and hearing about that and seeing what you're doing, Lord, that it would strike a holy fear into us, God. What an amazing thing that we get to join you in your body and to come alongside to see how you want to lead us, and that these men would be a part of that. I celebrate that, Jesus, because you do. It's in your word that this very action we get to make known into the heavenly places what is the manifold wisdom of God. And these men get to serve in that way alongside Will. And I just thank you and praise you that they would have clarity. We all would have clarity and wisdom and unity and strong conversations, Lord, because the enemy doesn't like this, what's happening at all. And so we pray for safety. We pray for supernatural provision and protection over their families, over all of us in this time, that we would have these excellent conversations, God, where we would be iron sharpening iron and flowers pollinating flowers. I don't know. So we just thank you and praise you and glorify you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.